Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Well, hey, everybody. Hope everybody's doing great in care partner and caregiver nation out there. You know, I thought today might be a great time to address home safety. You know, we're all at home. We're with our loved ones. We're, you know, at this coronavirus fatigue place of nausea. We're sick and tired of being in our home, stuck in, not being able to go anywhere. And I was just talking to Brian, my engineer, who also, by the way, plays all the music on the show. Little shout out to Brian. I have been going out to restaurants and things like that. And it was funny because he said, how do you go out to a restaurant? You know, do you have to wear your mask? Can't wear it while you're eating. You wear it when you walk in. You can sit outside. And then once you sit at your table, they let you take it off. That's what they've been doing in Denver. I don't know what they're doing in other places, but it's working for me. I kind of like it. I also live in Douglas County, which has been more relaxed about, having mandates because people are voluntarily cooperating so well. So, you know, is it safe to go out of your house with a person with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal? Can you do that? Yeah, you don't have to leave the mask on the whole time when you're out, but you certainly should put it back on when you go to the bathroom and things like that in the restroom. But today I want to talk about home safety, because if we're stuck there, we need to be thinking about what we need to do to make things a little bit better, okay? You know, people spend, especially people with dementia, spend most of their time in their home or the home of a family member, and they don't have pretty much anything to do. So engaging the person in an activity and keeping the home safe become increasingly important with the progression of the disease, whatever it is, if it's Alzheimer's or one of the other types of dementia. And as the person's behavior and abilities change over time, it's important to periodically conduct a room-by-room inspection of your home and to assure that that person is safe in that area and that it is okay for a person with dementia. Now, I know it's difficult to know what a person with dementia might do, but just because something has not yet occurred, you know, just because they haven't pulled a shelf over on themselves or slid down the stairs or something like that, it certainly doesn't mean that it isn't going to happen in the future. And I'll tell you, chances of it happening are probably pretty large. So, you know, checking on the safety of your home will help you take control of some of those potential problems that may create, you know, really hazardous situations. You don't want to have stoves left on. You don't want to have water running constantly. These are things we have to look at, right? And a safe home can be a less stressful home for the person that has the disease and you and your family members and friends, people that are coming in. So, you know, we often talk about strategies and techniques. So what can we do to provide some strategies that will help you with this? So we have done me and the mouse in my pocket, I guess. I have done a lot of research about what other people deem safe or what I have seen or heard from the clients and the family members that I work with about, you know, what they see in their home and what are some of the issues that they are having. Now, you know, you can access stuff freely on the internet, everything on the planet is on YouTube. So you could Google home safety for people with Alzheimer's disease and probably find an enormous amount of information. But today I'm going to try and give you as much as I can and things that I have seen and see what we can come up with together so that you have always in the forefront of your mind, keeping in mind you know, really some general points about home safety and making changes to your home that make sense for you and that person, okay? All right. So you may not have to make all the changes I'm going to talk about today, but I do want to give you a wide variety of safety concerns that I have heard about, that I have personally seen, and some modifications that I have offered. And you may never need them, but if that day comes, I want you to be able to say, ooh, I've got to run back to that Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz show and listen to some of those things she talked about, because those modifications at some point probably will need to be made. So, you know, don't just turn the channel if you think, well, that doesn't apply to me today, because it's a progressive disease and it probably will. Every home is unique. Every person is unique. And they all this uniqueness presents its own safety challenges, okay? So just think of this today as just a guide for you, okay? So as you consider changing your home, think about how the change is going to impact you and the other people in your house, and whether the change will be positive for everyone or inconvenient or undesirable. It might be necessary to find a happy medium there, right? There's ways to make your home safe that won't disrupt other people in the home. It could disrupt other people, though, now that I think of it. But removing clutter. Clutter, clutter, clutter. Oh, my goodness. You know, things that are in the way, in the line of path of walking down a hallway. Too many things in the living room. Yard sale time, people. And you can also, if you're having a yard sale, we just had one last weekend. My neighborhood and my next door neighbor and I were sitting out having a little garage sale and everything, and people wore masks and all was good. You can still do these things. You can still get out and see people and everything. Have a freaking yard sale. Get rid of some stuff in your house. You need to create space for you that is really clear, that is not a trip hazard, and for the person with the disease. Because I'm telling you what, if falls are something that are a big deal. And I just cleaned my basement area up and was really remarkably proud and delighted with myself, I have to say, that I created a space that was just for me, that I was able to put a little workbench there for my arts and crafts and the things I like to make, you know, wreaths and things like that at Christmas time, or, you know, I'm a wine drinker and I save my corks and I like, you know, making decorations out of things like that. I can find anything and be a DIY person and be happy as a bug in a rug. But I need a safe space to do that, right? So you can create a space that is off limits to anybody else and arrange it exactly like you want. Everybody needs a private, quiet time space. And I think if you can do that and you can declutter a room, you know, just get rid of a few things, wash some sheets, change the bedspreads, things like that, just to make sure we're not getting health and safety issues from, dare I say it, bed bugs or something like that. Make sure that you get in there and get those sheets changed every couple of weeks and things like that. So the good news is that if you change the environment, it can effectively address many, many behaviors. People get a little, you know, antsy and anxiety ridden when there's stuff everywhere. Well, at least some people do. I know I do. I don't like messes. But as a person has these various progressive diseases, this may change. Their personality may change a little bit, and they might not like everything in the room. They might like having everything in the room, and then you can't get rid of it. And if you do, they will throw a fit, you know, start getting angry, think you've stolen something. So the sooner you can do it in the disease process, the better, okay? And by making your home safe and minimizing the danger, you can help the person with the dementia move better around the house and have, better safety. And they can be more independent. That's the thing. That's the thing, right? All right. So whether or not you can leave that person alone in your home when you go out and run errands or something like that, you're going to have to carefully evaluate that. Be super careful. And you need to discuss with maybe their doctor or that person themselves about the abilities that they have to be on their own. Can they prepare their own food? Would they go in and turn the stove on? Would they try and take a shower and maybe lose their balance and fall? Is the shower glass? Would they turn on the tub and maybe leave it on? So, you know, what would that person do? Make a little list and answer some of these questions for yourself. I'll just try and rattle a few off, but just a couple of questions to yourself about that person with the dementia and what is their ability to be left alone? Are they going to be confused? Are they going to be upset? If they get stressed out, are they going to be unpredictable and try and walk out the front door, try and find you? Would they recognize a dangerous situation if they put paper on a gas stove and it caught on fire? Would they know how to use the phone in an emergency? Don't think that because they've always used a phone that they can still use a phone. That's one of the things that kind of can go by the wayside, struggling to use a cell phone. Not very many people have landlines anymore, so you have to think about things like that. Are you leaving them with a phone so they can call you? Are you on speed dial? Do they know how to get help? Would they wander? 90% of people with Alzheimer's will wander. People with Parkinson's disease, if they have had it for many, many years, they have memory loss too. They could wander. People with Lewy body, absolutely. And our FTD friends are so impulsive, they'd take off down the street anyway. They just go on their own whether you were home or not. Let's get real about that, right? So some other questions. Would they show signs of being angry? Depressed? Are they withdrawn? Are they upset with you when you leave and come back? You know, how long can you be gone? What period of time can you be gone that they can be safe? Again, would they attempt to make themselves a meal? Cook on the stove? Use sharp objects, a knife or something? You know, things like that. You really have to look at that, assess it, and say, well, maybe I need to put those knives away. Maybe I need to put them on the lower shelf in way in the back just when I'm gone. Maybe you put them in a great big old storage bag like maybe you could get from, in the sandwich aisle bag at the store. They have those great big quart freezer bags and things like that. You could put a bunch of knives in there just when you're gone and put those away. Okay? So just things to be careful, of course. Now, you can also take the knobs off of the stove. So if it's not a situation, maybe the stove is kind of driven into the back of the wall, and you can't just pull that out and unplug it, you could take the actual handles off of the burners so that they can't move them. They really need that stability from the handle being able to turn. Otherwise, you'd probably have to use like a wrench or something to turn that dial. So I would think about maybe taking those off. Just in case something happens, make sure you have emergency numbers posted somewhere where it's clear. On a kitchen table, on the refrigerator, right by the landline if you have one. And maybe even the neighbors. If you know the neighbors, do you have Bob next door, Bob's phone number if something should happen? And would they know how to dial it? Do you need to put it on speed dial? Okay. I think there's just a million things that could go wrong, especially with the phone. So if you are able to, and you do have a landline, tell the person not to answer the phone when you're not there. Okay? Ask them to use the answering machine, and you'll check the machine for the answers, whoever called, when you get home. And I'll tell you why. The person with dementia who answers the phone almost always is going to become a victim of telephone exploitation. Turn the ringer down really low so maybe they don't even hear it. See if you can just get that volume down so they don't hear the phone. Leave them with the TV on or something like that. Because I'm telling you, this is where people will call and say they've got your grandson. You know, you have to give them a ransom. They'll tell you that the IRS is after you because you owe money. Give a credit card right now, and they'll not press charges. I mean, you have all kinds of stuff like this that people can get roped into when they don't realize that this isn't a viable person on the phone. So phone issues are absolutely huge. And then, again, if you're using a cell phone, if you're leaving a cell phone for them, hey, those robocalls can come on that too. They absolutely can. Scammers are not picky about what medium they use, for sure. So if there's cell phones, if there's a tablet or something like that, maybe you need to put all that equipment in a safe place so that they don't walk away with it and put it down in another room, and then you can't find the phone, you can't find the remotes, all that. Maybe you put all that in a big box or something and put it in a corner of the living room so that if you're gone and all of a sudden they walk away with the remote to the TV and you can't find it anywhere, you're not in that fix. And if you don't think it happens, it will. I'm telling you right now. All right. You should always, always, always make sure that you have smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors in or near the kitchen and all the sleeping areas. And for goodness sakes, don't just put them up there. Make sure the battery is working and make sure that they are functioning well. Oftentimes they will beep at you in the middle of the night if the battery is dying, but just check those batteries every so often. I'm telling you, a fire in the home is a huge hazard for people with these various dementias. It almost always happens that if somebody is left alone, something can go wrong. Okay. Also, get rid of any flammable or volatile compounds near any gas appliances. Don't put, don't store like cleaning materials and things like that near a gas pilot in the kitchen or in the basement near your water heater. Make sure you don't have anything that is combustible near those areas. I'm telling you what, that's an accident waiting to happen. They bump into it, the lid's not closed, it spreads onto the floor, all of a sudden the pilot light catches it, and you got quite the show for your neighbors with your house on fire. So think about those kind of things. Make sure that you have secure locks on your doors and windows. And put signs if you need to, like stop. Get a stop sign. You can get those at like an Ace Hardware, your local hardware store, Home Depot, Lowe's. You can get any of those. Oftentimes, it's easier to find them in smaller, mom and pop places that where they have yard sale signs and for rent signs and things like that. Usually, they'll have stop signs or do not enter and things like that. Put those on your front door. Stop. If you have to make one or get one off the internet, we can get everything off the internet. Put a stop at the front door and right on the door above the at eyesight, but above the door handle, so they think about stopping before they walk out because they might just be looking for you. So signage is a big, big thing. Okay, but yeah, make sure that your windows have good locks. You don't want somebody coming in and a thief or somebody like that. Always try to lock your doggy door and things like that. This is the time of year when critters are coming in. A couple of my neighbors have had a bear try to come through their dog door, and somebody else had a raccoon come in. I'm telling you, that'll scare the living daylights out of anybody, but especially a person that has dementia. So just make sure those doors and windows are closed and have good solid locks on them, okay? If you have, here's another one. If you have cords that are kind of laying around, tuck them up. Do kind of like the accordion style and maybe take a bread tie or something like that and tie those up so you don't have a bunch of loose cords that are running maybe along a window or something. They go to look out the window and get their foot caught in it and go flying. We want to make sure we're careful about things like this. And it's really good to make sure that we use kind of, well, it's kid stuff, but you know those little plugs that you can put into electrical outlets when you do, generally do this for children, but it's good to do this for people with dementia too. Go ahead and just plug those outlets with those safety plugs. Another thing that you could do is use the latches, the child safety latches, on the drawers that you don't want them to get into, the ones with the knives, the ones with the pizza cutters, you know, things that they could get hurt with. Maybe you could put those safety locks on the area where you have your cleaning chemicals and things like that, just so they can't get to them. Better safe than sorry. Better safe than sorry. I'm telling you what. If you have any floor vents, radiators, heating devices, or anything like that, make sure that your person's not standing on them. You could just use some red tape and put the tape around the floor vent so that they can see it and tell them that that's a stop. Don't stand on the air conditioning vent. You'd just be amazed the things that can happen. Make sure all your rooms have adequate lighting, that they're bright enough, that it's not dark and creating shadows. Those can be very, very scary, can cause delusions easily. They see the air blowing or the wind blowing, or they walk in and the lamp is sitting in such a way that it causes a shadow across the wall and it might freak somebody out. So just kind of look at those things and make sure that you have the room lit up enough that they can see everything they need to see, okay? And if you have light switches at the tops and the bottoms of the stairs, make sure that they are working. I mean, I'll tell you what, when I do home assessments, I see plenty of lights on stairways that are not working. So make sure that, and also have a handrail, at least one, possibly two if you can, that extends all the way down, not just kind of starting in the middle or ending, you know, the rail ends before the last step. Make sure that it extends all the way from the first to the last step, okay? And make sure that stairways that are carpeted have safety grips. Make sure they're not slick. If you have to put like one of those rubber strips at the edge of them so that they don't slip and fall, shag carpeting can be very, very slick. And if it's on the stairs, you really need to do something to make sure that that person isn't going to fall. So those safety strips are something that could be very, very helpful. Okay? All right. Medications. Holy cow. You never know what they're going to get into, right? So make sure that you keep all your medications locked up. Clearly label. Make sure that it's clearly labeled and you can see their name on it. Use a highlighter pen, a yellow highlighter that shows their name and the expiration date and the refill number if they need it. So just highlight those kind of things. That could be really, really helpful. And then make sure that, you know, what dosage they're taking and see if you can get child-resistant caps. You can do that at like a pharmacy, at a Walgreens or something like that. You can get child-resistant caps. Now, we're not trying to treat our folks with Alzheimer's like they're children, but we do need to consider the fact that these safety issues almost seem like you know, we're having to do this in a childlike way. And the problem is that they as they have impairment in their brain, they stop recognizing objects and they can't name the object at a certain point. And usually that happens in the mid stage. If you were listening to my stages show the other day, I talked about some of this stuff. And they're going to have problems with these things. So let's just eliminate those issues before they happen. Let's just make sure that we're not, you know, waiting for this accident to occur, and then we're mad at ourselves. Why didn't we do that? Let's think about these things. Hey, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back and give you more safety tips, okay? We'll be right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so we're talking about safety in the home today. And how important it is just to recognize these troublesome areas, do a little modification to your home, set everyone up for success, and make sure that we're just taking care of these little things that can turn into huge things when a person loses their perception, loses their inability to recognize objects, doesn't understand fear, as in terms of fire and things like that, maybe on the other side is fearful and is afraid to be at home. They're trying to do things on their own and assessing what they can and cannot do if you leave them alone for a few hours. Now, I haven't talked about this, but I'm just going to throw this in here. If you are in a situation where you need to leave for a few hours, and there's something that you consistently do. You have a part-time job. You need to go to the doctor. You're going to get your hair cut. You have, friends you're going to have coffee with. You're going to go play golf, whatever it is. And you're leaving your person alone. Maybe call a home care company and see if that home care company can come in and spend a few hours. Now, you can't just call them up and say, hey, can you come over? You have to set it up with them. They'll come in. They'll evaluate your loved one. They'll set up a schedule of needs. They'll look at the scope of the care and what they'll determine what is needed to make this successful for everybody. But once you have that set up and you have a payment schedule and you know what you're paying, you can call them and say, could you have somebody come in tomorrow for 2 hours between such and such and such and such? Well, actually, I take that back. Most of the time, they want a 3-hour minimum. But that is something that could be super helpful to you. But we don't all have that, and we don't all have the money for that. And by the way, the cost of that is about a 3-hour minimum. And usually with a person with some type of dementia, it's about $35 an hour. So just so you know, you're looking at about $100 to $105 an hour. All right, so back to what we were talking about. Let's look at all the different things that we need to assess. All right, I'm a wine drinker. I like wine in my house. But if I have somebody with dementia in my house, I might need to keep the alcohol put away. Might need to put it behind a locked door. Okay, not that people with various dementias become alcoholics. I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form, but just make sure that they're not going to get, you know, a sip of whiskey and end up drinking, you know, Clorox or something. We just want to get those things put away, put it in a cabinet, lock it up. Drinking for people with Alzheimer's can cause more confusion. So if you're going to sit down and have a drink with them, expect that they're going to be a little bit more confused when they get up and walk away into another room. Aren't we that way? I mean, I have 2 glasses or 3 glasses of wine, and I'm feeling a little loopy. So think about that for a person with dementia. You want to just make sure that you're not letting them drink too much alcohol. If they do, you're going to deal with the consequences. That's how that works. All right. So smoking. If that person smokes, monitor that person while they are smoking. Remove matches, lighters, ashtrays, cigarettes, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Just remove them. These are fire hazards. And just say, listen, if you want a cigarette, let me know. I'll pull it out and I'll sit outside with you while you're smoking or whatever. Because I'm telling you, out of sight, out of mind, and that person may forget to smoke. I mean, that's the one beautiful thing about this disease is that they have short-term memory loss and they may decide they don't want to smoke. But if they do, never let that person smoke alone. Just don't do it. That's an accident waiting to happen. They may drop it on a carpet and you know, squish it in with their foot and think that they're outside and don't realize. And the next thing you know, you got a fire in your house. So think about those kind of things, okay? Throw out recycled newspapers and magazines, things that you can, you know, help the environment and In my neighborhood, they make us pay for recycling, but I don't mind doing that because it helps, like I said, it helps the environment and stuff. But if you can recycle those newspapers or magazines, if you get them mailed to you, like a People magazine or something, take your address off or put a black mark through it and take it to your local memory unit, your local nursing home. They love having magazines for the residents. So old books that you don't want that maybe they could have would be fantastic. All right. Now, I am a person that keeps plastic bags. I keep my Safeway and my King Super bags because I use them in my small garbage cans as my can liner, right? But don't keep a whole bunch of those because they may pick them up, start blowing in them, you know, just mess with them trying to figure out what they are, and they could suffocate or choke with them. You don't want to do that. Boy, this is one. It's come to mind that I just was dealing with a family about 2 weeks ago, and that is guns in the home. Remove all guns and other weapons from the home and lock them up. Install safety locks on the guns if you can, and remove the ammunition and the firing pins. Okay? My husband's a cop. We lock up his guns in a safe, and he keeps it on his key ring. Okay? That is never loose for anyone in my family, clients coming over, my grandkids. It's just a smart thing to do to keep those guns locked up. Here's a real fundamental reason to do this. When people get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, depression can occur. You know you have a progressive disease that's going to steal your emotional life. Psychologically, you feel like you have lost so much and people are looking at you in a different way. You're looking at yourself in a different way. And your judgment and reasoning is impaired and you know it. And that can cause some pretty serious depression. And having guns in the house could give them an idea about how to take care of this problem. And I don't think that's a way anybody wants to go, right? So just put those things away. Lock all power tools up. Don't leave saws and, you know, drills and things like that out, especially if that person is pretty far progressed. because they may pick up a drill and start drilling holes in things and you don't even know what's going on. Or think they're going to go outside and suddenly cut a tree down, decide to climb up in a tree or cut a branch down and end up hitting themselves in the leg or something like that. Do I need to even go through the issues that could be caused by that? I mean, seriously. So, yeah, what else? Make sure you get rid of any poisonous plants. And as the holidays come up, I don't know if you know this, but poinsettias, they may be beautiful, but they're poisonous. They're poisonous to your dogs and your cats, and they can be poisonous to your loved ones. So just get rid of those. Check with your local nursery or a poison control center to get a list of poisonous plants in your home and get rid of them if you have them. All right? Make sure all computer equipment and accessories, I talked about electrical cords earlier, all out of the way. They're not going to grab them, and maybe there's a whole bunch of them sitting on the desk, and all of a sudden they go to move them away, and they pull your laptop off and break it. Those kind of things can happen, right? So also make sure you know any passwords, any usernames, things like that. Keep them in a file that person used through the years so that if you find a bank account later, you find, maybe stocks and bonds or something like that they had, and they pass away and you don't know their usernames and passwords. So get all those things logged in that computer and then make sure the computer's safe wherever it's sitting. Okay? And, I think it's always a good idea to limit those people being online. There's so much that these thieves and folks, hackers, can do. And they might put their credit card in some place where they shouldn't have. It might be a scam issue. They could be getting on looking at pornography and things like that. So kind of limit the amount of online time that person has without somebody sitting there with them. It's just there are people that are more than happy to come in and take your money if you open that door, okay? They really, really will. Here's another one. I had this in a home not very long ago, about a month ago. They had a fish tank that was sitting relatively low. And the person that I was evaluating had motor skill issues, and they were falling left and right. And there is glass, massive amount of water, electrical pumps, and potentially poisonous aquatic life. You know, I mean, what if you have, you know, some like piranha or something in there that could hurt you? And if somebody's curious and they want to reach in that fish tank and play with those fish, and those are fish that bite and could really hurt you, that's a problem. So think about those kinds of things. All right, so that's inside the house. Let's go outside the house. So the steps going up and down from your front and back doors, are they broken? Are they sturdy? Are they up to code? Are they big enough for a person to actually step on? Many, many old houses have small steps that are not actually as large as they should be, and somebody with a big foot might miss and trip and fall. Okay, so think about those kinds of things. Is it safe for them to go up and down? Mark the edge of the steps with like painter's tape. You can get that at like a Sherman Williams. I've done that many times. I've got that pink painter's tape, and you can get outdoor tape and put it right at the edge. Something that is bright that they can see. Okay, right at the edge of the step. A lot of times that can solve the problem of them not being able to see the step from a spatial standpoint, which is the right side of the brain, and just missing it. But they can see the colors and they can see the contrast, so they know where they need to step. Okay? Think about installing a ramp. A ramp with handrails, just to make sure that they're safe. Maybe one on both sides. Why not? You know, just do it. Eliminate uneven surfaces. Your walkways going out to your driveway. You might have one that's broken and it's sticking up a little bit. If it's not flat and level, you know, get out there and see what you can do to make it even. I would hate to have to call a concrete company, but if you can, try to just make sure that it's not unlevel and that they might fall. Watch out for walkways. Make sure they're clean. You can open a door and 5,000 bugs come flying out, you know. Go out on your front porch and just make it a project one day to wash everything down. Get rid of the cobwebs. Get rid of everything. And just clean up your front porch area so when they walk out and then the moth doesn't go flittering and all of a sudden they get freaked out and they fall down the stairs. Just get rid of crap like that, okay? And just think about, you know, any hoses in the yard. Don't just leave them laying round about. Get one of those hose wheels and wind that baby up every time you get done. Don't leave things to chance because I'm telling you, everything is an accident waiting to happen, right? If you have any swimming pools anywhere you live in the world, if you have swimming pools, make sure you have restricted access by fencing or a lock gate, covering the pool when it's not in use, supervising when the person is out there, making sure that they've got some kind of a floaty around them or that they're not in the pool by themselves. Last thing you need is a drowning issue happening. On your patio area, remove the fuel source and fire starters from any grills. Make sure that the propane is always off. I'm a big outdoor cooker. Man, I'm having brats tonight. And I always have to be very careful to make sure that I have everything turned off and I don't have any access for anybody to get hurt with anything having to do with the grill, okay? Maybe have a small bench or a table that is next to the front door or the back door if you have things that that person is bringing in so that they can set those objects down, like if they've been gardening with you or something. Just nice to have a little bench or a table there where they can set down their gardening tools. And just an example about that, every week I spray my plants, and I have a lot. I have 80 in my yard. I spray them with an aphid and a Japanese beetle spray. And I end up having fertilizer and gloves and clippers for, you know, things like that. So if I were to come in the house and I had Alzheimer's, I'd want to be able to have a place where I could set all those things down or give them even just like a backpack or a bag that they can put them in so that when they go up and down stairs, they're not focusing on holding a bunch of objects and not paying attention to the stairs themselves. Okay, so just think about those little tweaks that could help you. Make sure that those bushes, take those darn clippers and get rid of any foliage, anything that is along a walkway. If it's covering the walkway in any way, cut those things back. Just make sure we get rid of these fall risk things, okay? Make sure your outdoor lighting is adequate. I talked about it inside. Have lights that are motion sensored. So if the person were to walk outside, there a light goes on and you'd know they were outside. These are helpful things. It's hotter than blue blazes outside these days. And you want to make sure you know when somebody's going in and out of a door. Put a bell on there. Just get a little bell, like the little jingle bell things that you can buy. You can get those at a dollar store. And just get some of those bells and put it on the door so it rings inside and outside when that person opens the door. So you're not letting them go out in the heat of the day without sunscreen and stuff on. And, you know, it's just an easier way to make things safer, right? Put no soliciting signs at your front and back doors. Tell people they are not welcome. And you don't have to tell them why, but you don't want your loved one opening the door to somebody who's trying to sell them stuff. That's where a lot of thefts and robberies occur. And a robbery, by the way, is when somebody has a gun. A theft is when they come in and they just steal stuff from you, but they're not armed. But those kinds of things happen all the time. So in and outside the home, make sure that you get rid of scatter rugs and throw rugs. If you're going to have them, put texture strips and non-skid wax stuff on them and on hardwood floors so that they don't slip and slide. Okay. Again, I think I've told you a bunch of times about being very, very careful in the kitchen. You just really think, take a good hard look at your kitchen. One of the bigger things that I think that you could look at for a kitchen is maybe even putting a nightlight in there, right? Just something that is lit at night so that they come down to get something to drink, they can see where they're going. Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. What kind of things could you do? One thing you should do is if you can get down underneath your sink when you're not home, disconnect the garbage disposal. You don't want them to throw something down there or put their hand down there and turn it on, thinking that they're turning on water or something. That could be really, really tough. All right. I want to go into the bedroom and a couple of other rooms in the house and just kind of think to myself, what are some things that you could do? You could use a monitoring device. Again, this is something that we use with infants. But if that person is in a massively confused state, having a monitor in your room and in their room so you know when they get up could be helpful. So think about things like that. Do not use portable space heaters. They can malfunction. They can have shorts. They can catch on fire. And I'm not a fan of electric blankets either. Talk about a fire hazard. Try and stay out of that. Oh, man. I think basically if you need to at some point, if they're struggling, if they're getting up and down, they're not comfortable, they're not walking as well as they used to, they're becoming non-ambulatory, you might need to consider a hospital-type bed, you know, for their room. Those are pretty good things to have, okay? Now, in the bathroom, never, ever, ever leave a person with Alzheimer's in a confused state in the bathroom by themselves. That is, again, a fall risk that is just something waiting to happen. Take the lock off of the bathroom door. I don't know how many times I have seen people that locked themselves in and they ended up having to remove the door hinges to get the lock off because the person couldn't figure out how to get out. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm just saying these are things that happen when somebody has a cognitive impairment. Use non-skid adhesive strips or mats in the tub or the shower, okay? And make sure that you keep the floors from being wet and slippery and things like that, okay? Just really be careful about that. Grab bars in the tubs and the showers. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Put a bench in there as well if you need to, but always make sure that if that person's sitting on that bench, they have a warm towel that they're sitting on. Those things can be major uncomfortable and slick because they're plastic when they get wet, okay? Make sure that you have a little bit of signage on hot and cold and where the line is on the shower so that they don't go too far past the line on the hot or the cold, and let them know, you know, very, very hot. Put signage up that helps them with stuff like that. And another thing you can do is go down to your basement in your water heater. Typically, your water heater would be set at 140. I would set it at 120 so that they don't burn themselves even if they push it to the hottest level. Okay, they might still, but they have a better chance of that not happening if it's set to 120. So think about that kind of thing. Make sure you have drain traps so that you can catch anything like rings and stuff like that if they take them off to wash their hands and then it falls down the sink. Get rid of any cleaning products that you keep under your sinks and your bedrooms. Put them downstairs in your laundry room and then just make sure everything is locked up. Everything. Okay, if a person uses an electric razor or something like that, make sure that it's away from water. You don't want them to have to drop that in the water or something like that, and then they electrocute themselves. All right. And then just, you know, look again, look all over your house. In your laundry room, make sure that all the products are in a cabinet and locked up. We've had a lot of problem with people that will eat the pie, Tide Pods. Can't get that out of my mouth, huh? They will eat the Tide Pods thinking that they're candy. So just make sure you get those things cleaned up and cleaned out of there and behind cabinet doors with locks on them. If you can, see what you can do to secure the notches on your washer and dryer so they don't put a dog or a cat in the washer or dryer, okay? And then, of course, you know, there's a zillion things that they can get into in sheds and garages and things like that. So just make sure you keep all your motor vehicles locked. You keep the keys somewhere safe, not where they can access them easily. Get rid of the tools, the machinery, all those kinds of things that they could hurt themselves with. Any toxic materials such as paint, fertilizers, gasoline, cleaning supplies, all that stuff. Put it up high. Make sure it's locked in a cabinet. All right? Just a zillion things that you can think of. That's about all I could come up with today, friends. I hope it's been helpful to you. I love you all out there in my caregiver nation, and I hope that you stay safe. Just take a look around your house and see what you can do to make your home better equipped for safety and make sure accidents don't happen, okay? I will see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.